Okay, we're going to get started. And today we're going to be talking about the third plague of the triad, or the first triad. Remember, the first plague was... what was the first plague?
Blood.
Come on, you got to know this stuff.
Blood.
Blood, okay. And the second plague was?
Frogs.
Now, the first plague, we said... in the blood, showed that their source of truth was wrong and would lead to death. And in the tenth sign, that's exactly where we're going to end up. The second sign, frogs, we said was demonic spirits ruling the rulers and the high priest, which in this case is the same person. Pharaoh is both king and high priest. The third sign, it depends on what translation you have. And we'll discuss that almost right off the bat. So we want to review the triad here, the three sets of signs and a repeating pattern. Remember, the first sign of the triad, Pharaoh's says high priest. It's a religious issue here. And it's announced. Moses goes to Pharaoh while he's at his official duties at the Nile and says, "Let my people go, God, from God." And then the sign that ensues from that discussion is going to challenge Pharaoh, the high priest, to be able to keep the Maat. And then the second sign in the triad is Pharaoh is king. Moses approaches him, but not in his high priestly duties, but in his governmental duties. Thus, it is also announced. But the last sign is never announced. It just happens. God talks to Moses. Moses acts. When I say Moses, I mean Moses and Aaron, because they're in concert together. And thus, they just do it. And the people of Egypt, see, they're not dumb. They know where it comes from. They go right to Moses and say, "What are you doing? You got to make this stop." So it's unannounced to them, but they still know where it comes from. And this triad will repeat three times. Set of three times. The number three in the scriptures is? Trinity, completeness. God is at work.
So it's 1, 2, 3.
Yep. The last sign has nothing to do with the first three sets of signs. It is what God told Pharaoh would come if he didn't do this. The three sets of signs are actually warnings and enlightenments. See, God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So he warns you, and 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 he warns you. Patience, long-suffering, mercy, compassion. Thus, when the Hebrews left, they did not leave alone. A mixed multitude went with them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, those signs save people. Now, this last sign is a comment on the culture. And when I say that, I mean... in this ancient society, they move as a group. They believe as a group. Remember, personal morality, personal responsibility really has been established yet. We're part of a group, and as the group succeeds, I succeed. And if I do something wrong and the group suffers, then we all have to work together. Nietzsche had a term for that. He called it the herd mentality. Nice guy. And that's kind of how it works. And it's kind of how it worked then. Remember, if... no one is responsible for their own future. It's as a group. So culture is very much tied into this. And if we look today, we're going back to that. Really. We're going to take away personal responsibility, and it's a cultural thing. It's part of your culture. You get to believe in your culture. And so we have enclaves of culture. And because people are not blending and changing and coming under the influence of the gospel, which cuts across cultural lines, kind of breaks that barrier and blends all together, we have a lot more clashes. Now, we say a lot more clashes. It's a lot more clashes in this country. If you go back and you look at 19th century Europe, it's kind of always been the same. Always been bombings, always been shootings, always been stabbings, always been anarchists, always been unrest. This is not a new thing. Remember, World War I started because of unrest and one shot. This sign is a comment on the culture and the society. God is teaching them about the personal morality. Now, if you remember, the ancient world is not what we would call scientific. So when they named something, they knew what they were saying. But that was 4,000 years ago. Do we know what they were saying? A lot of times not. If you ever do a study of the stones that are in the New Jerusalem, it almost sounds like gibberish when you go back and try to find out what these stones are. Because the names, we kind of make it up when we say one's a topaz and one's this and that. Same way with plants and animals, because they were poetic. They were a pastoral people. They were not a cataloging people. We are a cataloging people. We want things in a certain order. We put them in a hierarchy. We label everything, and we call that scientific. And we use Nietzsche again as an example, because I've been studying him this past month. Interesting guy. Nietzsche made the observation that just because we're able to catalog things better today, it only makes us able to explain things a little bit better, but we still don't know causation. We still don't know why. And I've talked about that many times in the class. And I use heat as an example. And gravity is another good one. Faith is a good one. Even the concept of beauty, we cannot define or anything.
He came up with that too?
Who?
Nietzsche.
Oh, yeah. A very interesting guy. Went crazy. The ancient world did not catalog nature as we do. So it's when they put in the words, like the word for what's going to be created, what it actually means is, it means to fasten onto. And we'll discuss that in more detail in a moment. So what is dust? Why did God use dust? Why did he just pick up a handful of dust, dirt, and throw it in the air? Why do you see, whenever God is doing something, we should be thinking about why is he going that particular route and what is he trying to tell us? And of course, being people of the book, we don't want to just sit around, stare off into space, and make up our own philosophical trash. We want to go back to the scriptures and see how the scriptures use the term and define it. So man is made from dust. Satan shall be identified with those who are of the dust. That means sinful people. Flesh. Dust is actually synonymous with the flesh. And man is dust to dust. Yeah, you see the movies and they always pronounce that, you know, over the graveside or over the body in canvas where they dump it in the water. From you came from the dust, you're going back to the dust, ashes to ashes and all that. And down they go. So dust is the substance of flesh. But flesh is now sinful flesh. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29, God says, no flesh will glory before me. It's an indicative sentence. It's a period. It means that that goes not just from that statement forward, from that time forward, but it stretches all the way back in time too. No flesh ever shall glory before God. So when God is throwing this dust up into the air, this is what they're made of. See, we like to think we're made of something better. Gold. What is the most expensive material? Plutonium, platinum, iridium, something like that. Something rare. Yeah, diamonds are common. You just have to dig down for them. But none of that really is true, and none of that is our self-worth, because we are dust. And if you're confused about that, go watch an animal decay. Upwind. Because you won't like it downwind.
Mine says boast before God. Same thing.
Same thing. It's a translation thing. So dust is the substance of creation. So taking the dust is also an act of creation. Because God is taking this dirt, sandy dirt, he's throwing it into the air, and he's making something of it. Not just the handful of dust that was thrown into the air, that is symbolic. That is so they can, the people who are doing it can see it. Remember, we're empirical people. We're limited by our five senses. We have to be able to see it or try not to taste too much. Touch it, hear it, feel it. But actually, this occurred simultaneously throughout Egypt. From all the dust. And I say throughout all of Egypt. So Satan and man can only poorly copy God's creation. Now notice, Pharaoh's priests could not do this. They could not duplicate this. They could not create something out of nothing. God has ended their ability to do that. I was asked a question earlier, before class, how were they able to do this? And they're able to do this because they receive power ultimately from
Satan.
God.
Ultimately,
it has to come from God. So God has given Satan a certain purview in which to act. If we doubt this, we go back to Job chapters 1 and 2 and see that God has defined the arena in which Satan is able to function. Satan has no power in and of himself.
That's why that lady Saul went to was able to bring up Samuel.
Oh, the witch.
Witch of Endor, because God allowed it. God had to let Samuel out of where?
Now that's a question.
Paradise. He had to let him out of paradise to come back. Yeah, like he was not wanting, hey, I got out of there once, man. That's enough. I'm gone.
What are you doing to me?
So you brought me back. Here's the message. You're going to die. But you're not coming here. Actually, though, there's a debate. I think Saul did go to paradise. So Satan and thus man can only poorly copy what God has created. They cannot create in and of themselves.
Does the thought of when Jesus did the creation of the bread and the fish mm-hmm. out of
Nothing.
Nothing. Be the same thing.
Exactly.
He might well have used dust to do it.
Right.
You know.
So now we have a problem, and the little things in brackets are because I don't have the Hebrew font on this. I haven't learned how to put it on the pad yet. But when I type it up on the computer, I put in the Hebrew word to remind me. And also because we looked this up in other places. So depending on your translation, it probably reads as gnats. And really, the only translation that does not read as gnats is the King James. Until you get to the modern English version, which is the souped-up, very modern King James, and they bowed to pressure, and they made it gnats. Before that, it was lice. And to the ancient writers, it was lice. Because gnats do not fasten onto you. They land, they do their thing, and they leave. And they're gone. They use the word to fasten to describe this little doodah. They used it for a reason. Now, they're not cataloging species like we do. They have more important things to do. Eat, survive, build stuff. They didn't have microscopes, they didn't have telescopes, they didn't have all the stuff. So their body of knowledge was consistent with their view. Anyone ever wonder how come the Chinese, who knew about magnetism, who knew how to sell, who knew about gunpowder, never went anywhere? From their worldview, they had nowhere to go. They were... Exactly. Heaven on earth. There was nowhere to go. We are it. Where are we going to go? We're not going to discover anything out there because we are it. And we're going to build a wall to keep you people out because you're hurting our heavenly vision of ourselves. That's why they didn't use that stuff. You know why the Europeans used it? They wanted to find pepper.
That's right.
Black, white, and red.
That's right.
They wanted to find pepper. Every time you use pepper, that is why you're in America. They were looking for an easier route to find pepper.
Yep.
They discovered nutmeg and some other things, but mainly it was pepper. So your worldview is going to determine how you view the world and how you interact with it, what you see and perceive and what you do not see and perceive. Guess what that is?
Body lice.
Exactly. This is body lice. What does lice do? It fastens onto you. And it stays there, almost like a tick, a lot smaller. And so I stand with the original language and the position of the writers who were closest to that word formation, that action. That's how they viewed it. That's how they wrote about it. Even the early church fathers went along with the understanding it was lice. I think the reason that we don't today is because we don't understand lice. I don't mean head lice. I don't mean pubic lice. I mean body lice. Body lice carries the disease. And it accords with ancient culture, too. The two top castes of the Egyptian society were fastidious about cleanliness. They were so fastidious, they shaved every speck of body hair off. Why do you think they did that? They're not for Brazil. There's no photographs. It's because of cleanliness. Lice was rampant. Anyone ever been to a non-Christian culture? It's filthy. I grew up in Japan in the 50s. It was filthy. It's not just that they've modernized, but they have adopted, by and large, Western sanitary standards. I say by and large because I was there in 2000 for a couple months, and that's not everybody. The Middle East, you go there, it's dirty. Personal testament. Told her before we got off the boat, don't use the bathroom there, you're going to be shocked. And sure enough, she had to use the bathroom, and she was shocked. It's just basically a piece of tile with two foot pads and a hole in the floor. There is no U in the pipe. You're going straight down, and the smell's coming straight up. And to them, that's clean. But it's not. You go to India. You go to paganistic Christian cultures, South America, Spain, Italy. It's still dirty. It's not as dirty. You go to an Italian hospital, you're going to die. I have a couple stories about that, true. And so if they had these body lice on, they had these sores, they were considered unfit, unclean. They were touched. And so to demonstrate their purity, to be able to function, remember, Pharaoh and his family have priestly functions. They shaved everything off. That's why they wore the wigs. That's why they wore the tied-on beards. No body hair. No eyelashes. Nothing. Obviously, you're going to have slaves do that for you. Those hard-to-reach spots. So you have parasites, the body lice, a constant menace to health. Now, we don't really understand what that means because we see some head lice and we panic and we sue the school district and my God, I actually have to wash something for a change. This is what happens with body lice. It carries the disease typhus. Typhus will kill you. Typhus grows in conditions of uncleanliness. All these pictures you've seen of the POW, none of the POW camps, but the concentration camps in Germany are like this. These people are emaciated. They had no food. Do you know, my ex-father-in-law was a POW in Germany in 44, 45. He landed on the wrong side of the mountain. When his bomber was hit, everyone had to bail. Half the crew landed on one side of the mountain and got picked up by resistance fighters and returned. The other half fell on the wrong side of the mountain, got picked up by the Germans, and got put into POW camps. In 1945, we were strafing and burning and destroying and blowing up everything that moved. Trains, trucks, warehouses. Things that didn't move. We were destroying their infrastructure. That's what you do in war. But when you do that, you cannot move food and medicines and supplies to those who need it most. England was intercepting messages from the concentration camps denoting the death toll and asking for supplies. Supplies that could never come because we kept blowing up the trains. No slight on us because that's what you do in war. You fight to win and you destroy their infrastructure. I say that because the reason they're all emaciated is because they were not able to get food. These people can't work. Yes, they worked them. But the point of having a workforce is not to kill them. Only in the movies do you kill your workforce because you can get more. It means you have to go out and kill more people to get more. You know, it becomes a self-defeating cycle. So anyway, their immune system became corrupt. The camp conditions became unsanitary. And you had raging cases of body lice. Thus you had typhus. Thus you had all these mounting deaths. Filthy conditions encourage these epidemics. America is once again becoming a filthy culture. You have any doubts of that, go do some home health. So Gnostic cultures throughout history displayed their lack of spiritual cleanliness as physical uncleanliness. Epidemics were common, not just because they didn't have medicines, but because they were unclean. They were filthy. Christian missionaries in the 18th and 19th centuries carried the value of cleanliness into these cultures, breaking the cycle of disease and filthiness, in addition to carrying the gospel of salvation. It's amazing. You teach people not to crawl in the dust, wash yourselves, put on clothes to protect yourself from the elements, and they stop dying. And you get in the Bible and say, this is why we do this. Because cleanliness is next to... Where do you think they came from? They're linked together. When you are spiritually sound, you want to be physically sound. And when you're not spiritually sound, you really don't care how you are on the outside. It's modern insanity. So the Western Gnosticism seeks to return to the holistic, naturalistic forms of medicine that never worked throughout the millennium of man's history.
We have friends who love their friends who do that.
I know.
We have many friends like that.
I know. It's endemic up here.
Yeah, it is.
And
even with people with medical degrees.
And it doesn't work. If it worked, Christ wouldn't have had to heal people. If it worked, the Egyptians wouldn't be shaving every last particle of hair off their body. If it worked, I'd be out of a job. I'm okay with that. I'll go chew some tree bark if I don't have to hurt anymore. This is not to say that you do not find medicines in nature. You do. But it is to say that much of what passes today for holism is Gnosticism, pure and simple. In research, trial after trial after trial after trial after trial has proved these things generally do not do what they advertise to do. And they're very expensive. They're not cheap. CoQ10 and all these other ones. How much fish oil do you want to swallow? I don't know about you, but growing up, my mom had to beat me to get me to take cod liver oil.
Yeah.
I literally had to beat me. Now today, people swallowing these capsules left and right.
Yeah.
And see, we're going back to this because we forgot. So the dust turns to lice. Aaron strikes the dust with a staff. God creates lice out of the dust throughout Egypt. The Egyptians are infected. The Hebrews are infested. The animals are tormented. Poor things. They, the innocent ones. Romans 8. All nature groans. What do you think it groans? Because we did it. Now, why did the Hebrews get hit?
They still didn't believe in God.
Yeah, because they need to understand that they are sinful. That they are spiritually unclean. That they need to begin to understand about God and God's holiness. Oh, no. Not throughout any of this. They will not be. We don't hear from them again until it's time to leave. Except for the Passover thing. Because the Hebrews are still wallowing in Satan's religion and has produced spiritual uncleanness evidenced by the lice-borne illnesses. And the Egyptians felt the Asiatics were unclean because they never shaved their body hair, like beards and mustaches and hair and all that. They hated to be around them. Not that the Egyptians were much better.
Well, they thought they were.
Oh, of course, we always are the hero of our own story. So the signs didn't end. You notice that? Not only are the verses very short, and they always are for the third sign of the triad, but it doesn't end. There's no indication that Moses ended this sign. There's no indication that Pharaoh asked Moses to end this sign. There's no indication of anything. So how do you end this sign? You have to become clean. You have to begin to change. See, people don't change. It's, knowledge does not change behavior.
Right. Difficulty does.
You know? This whole understanding of the 20th century is that I can give you knowledge and you will change and I can make a better person out of you by teaching you. Come to healthcare, go talk to patients. You'll be disabused of that notion very quickly. First of all, they won't listen to you because you're bothering them. They won't go home. And second, using big words like boish and check your sugars and lose weight. They don't hear those words. They're too big. So they had to develop a habit of cleanliness to prevent reinfestations. It forced them to start making changes. To die out. That is with most disease states. You have to make changes. Thus Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Pharaoh would not be moved by the suffering of his people. I like this guy. He's committed. Isn't that what we love in America? Committed people. People who are strong and unchanging and standing for something. And if you're watching Superman, of course, it's
truth, justice, and
the American way.
There you go, American way. Because he stood by an American flag on the moon, I think. Because we didn't care about anybody else. At least that's how they thought. You know, you're always the hero of your each person's culture is always the hero of everybody else's. And so when we export our movies overseas, they're always upset that America is the hero of the movie. Well, duh, we made the movie. You make your movies. So England makes their movies, and guess what? James Bond is always the hero of England. I don't know him being an American agent. There you go. Same way in France, except they don't export their movies because they're usually nasty. They're usually naked, and so we can't watch them here. And look at Japan. They exported their movies of monsters and they always beat them. We didn't. So the Hebrew shows that the Pharaoh did actually harden his heart. He didn't make his heart heavy. He actually firmed up his mind and said, this does not move me. Of course it doesn't move him. He's got no hair. Do you think this guy was infested with body lice when he has not a particle of hair and his clothes are washed every day? No. He was not touched by any of this. Nor were the priests. Those who had cleanly habits were not touched. But he was not moved by the suffering of his people. Do you think that those people who are promoting what we call socialistic type programs are moved by the suffering of the people? Because their programs do not alleviate the suffering of the people. It actually makes it worse. Well, I didn't want to use his name specifically, but exactly. If you go back and you look at history, LBJ and the War on Poverty program, and you look behind the scenes to his personal recordings, he tells you exactly why he promoted and had Congress pass that program. It was not about alleviating the suffering of the poor. It was about pocketing their votes for the next 200 years. They're urban vote farms, and they work. They work very well. But their hearts are hard because they are not afflicted with those afflictions. They are no more compassionate than Pharaoh was. I like it when they call me uncompassionate. Thus, the cycle is showing Pharaoh, the Hebrews, and us that our source of truth, knowledge, was corrupted, or is corrupted. There's a new book out about that. Their religion and government was demonically inspired to maintain their source of truth. You know, this past couple of years have been very enlightening, especially reading Judge Napolitano's books. Because he follows the case law, and he falls into neither camp. That's why Fox fired him, because he didn't push their party line. And you don't hear him on the other channels, because he definitely doesn't push their party line. And he shows through case law, through the Supreme Court, how America was never the country you thought it was. Never. But you have to believe the myth in order to maintain your worldview. They have to pull you in. They can't maintain the myth for you, but if they can con you into it, you do the work for them. And they just help you along. The result of the believing the lies resulted in spiritual and physical degradation and uncleanness, and the cycle continues today. Now, a case in point is the statement, things are much worse today than they were in the past. And as I showed, that is not true. They were somewhat different in America, because America has oceans on both sides. And we have Canadian Brits who are kind of friendly, and the Mexicans who are inept and didn't fight too much. And so we were pretty much isolated from the events happening everywhere else in the world. But you go and look at European history, especially in the 19th century, it's very fascinating. From the French Revolution up to the Communist Revolution up to today, it's just one big mass of violence. Bombing, shooting, stabbings, kind of like today. In America's uncleanness, the lament of the declining morality is nothing more than America and Western culture in general rejecting God's truth. Your education system, this is well documented, was developed not to educate you. It was developed to train up Protestant moral people.
Cows.
Herd. Exactly. This is well documented. There's a DVD out called Indoctrination that goes back and documents this in America. And how the influences came over from Europe. He missed one point when he says that the influences for our modern school system came from Prussia. That's quite true. But where did Prussia get their ideas from? No, that is Germany. They got them from France. Egalitarian. Liberté. Which are contradictory. You cannot be free and equal, because if I have to make everyone equal, I have to sink to the lowest common denominator. But if I make you free, then you're free to be unequal. See, I want you free enough to be equal to the lowest common denominator. No more freer than that.
Well, that's what God gave us.
Well, we can debate that if you want to. This has seeped into all forms of government, resulting in declining standards of truth, embracing mind-altering drugs to open the people to demonic forces. Thus, the general decline in cleanliness, even among Christians, mirrors the general decline in spiritual truth. And that's the way we are today. So do we want to break the cycle? Well, you can. God's people have to remain faithful to God's Word. When I say God's Word, I don't mean your understanding of God's Word. I don't mean your myth of God's Word. I don't mean your stories of God's Word. I mean getting in there and studying and exegeting God's Word. And the people spreading that gospel, and the gospel, is, as we taught in the past, goes from Genesis to Revelation, spreading it in word and deed. Thus, God's people rejecting the filth of Gnosticism in the assemblies. You know, I didn't even know there was a book out about this. Pastor Dan mentioned it. I bought it. I read the first two chapters. I think that I know where they're going with this. I don't know if I will agree with their conclusions, but I certainly understand that much of what you think is church wasn't church. In fact, I wrote a blog on it this week. Small blog. My wife says I'm stamping on people's sacred cows again. And God's people will stand firm in suffering to Christ, awaiting their glory in the future rather than some healing today. And that's about the lice. The culture was unclean. And the culture is unclean because the people are unclean. And the same is true today.